It. Well, I'm joined by Theresa May, who is the Home Secretary. We normally talk about things like prisons and police, which we shall be doing later, Mrs. May. But first, let's deal with this. And the problem with what you have just announced, on the basis that you've got these figures from the House of Commons Library, that they tell us a certain amount, but then they stop. They don't tell us, for instance, that the labour taxes actually helped people, that the labour economic changes helped people on lower incomes. And after all, that's what Labour governments are meant to do. They're meant to be redistributive, aren't they?
Well, good morning, John. First of all, I think it's important to point out that, as you've said, these are independent figures. They're from the House of Commons Library. But what the figures show, as well as that overall figure of, as you've said, nearly £1,900 increase in taxes under Labour, was that actually that was across all income scales. And in fact, the biggest increase was for some of the poorest. So it wasn't the case that Labour were helping the people, as you suggest that they claim they do help most. In fact, they weren't.
Well, and but you see, there were also very big increases in benefit payments, especially tax credits, and overall the tax and benefit changes were, the word that politicians like to use, were progressive because of that. So they did help poorer people overall. That's the key word here, overall.
Well, but at the same time, they actually doubled tax for the poorest by abolishing the 10p income tax rate. They also brought more people into paying higher tax. And, of course, they increased national insurance, which is a tax on jobs.
As did you. You brought more people into higher tax as well. That's what you've done as well.
And we're very clear that a Conservative government after the election would actually be raising that higher tax threshold. But what I think the important thing is with these figures is that it gives a very clear message. And the clear message is the natural inclination of Labour in government is actually to put up taxes on hard-working people. The natural inclination of Conservatives is to...
Well, and on people who don't work very hard. You're not fed up with the hard-working people mantra. Don't you think it's a bit silly?
Well, no, I think people are out there.
You must do. Come on.
Oh, no, come on, John.
Some people are hardworking and some people aren't. Why are all people hardworking when politicians talk about them? Anyway, go on, I'm interrupting you.
Well, the point I was making is that however you describe the families who are having this impact, then what happens under Labour is taxes go up, and the Conservatives, a natural inclination of Conservatives is actually to cut taxes because we believe that people should be able to keep more of their own money because we believe that they make better decisions than
right.
Governments do. But I think the key thing is that Labour did it last time. They put up taxes on average households last time. And if they were in government again, they would do it again.
Ah, well, now, here you've got a problem, haven't you? Because you've told us they're going to put up taxes by £3,000. The Institute for Fiscal Studies rubbished that immediately. Misleading, they said. Misleadingly referring to taxes over 4 years rather than one for a start. And it really surprises me slightly that you're sticking with that £3,000 figure, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not. And
well, do you not believe what the IFS said, then?
We came at the figure in a very simple way. And
too simple?
Well, the Labour Party voted for £30 billion cuts in public spending, and they've got to say how they would actually deliver that. Ed Miliband has said in the past that it will be 50%
through taxes.
But they
haven't committed themselves, you see, to the plans that you have suggested. You based that £3,000 figure on what you believe, what you infer they are going to do. And they haven't actually done it. So how can you possibly say it's going to be £3,000?
Well, very simply, what they have committed to is £30 billion of savings, of cuts in public spending. They did that by voting for it in a parliament. So they've committed to that £30 billion. They've indicated in the past 50% of that would come of any savings would come from taxes, and that's how we've come to the £3,000 figure. But if you want to know what the Labour Party would do, then you should be asking them about what taxes be increased that £3,000 would come from.
Yes, but we do, and this is the problem with not just this campaign, every campaign I suppose that's ever been, really, isn't it? We do ask them, and we ask you, and in the end, you all say the other lot's either telling porkies or exaggerating or whatever it is, and people at home say, hard-working people, if you like, say, oh, God, who
are we? I'm sure you're hard-working too, John.
Who are this whole relative? Who are we to believe? I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? You know, you come up with all these figures, and actually, in the end, the people who know best are people who are going to vote because they know how their pay packet or their income has been affected.
Well, obviously, people say what's happened see what's happened in their pay packets. But I think, I mean, two points I would make again. First of all, the figures that we're using today, this nearly £1,900 increase under Labour in tax on earnings for average households. That's not a figure the Conservative Party has come up with. It's a figure that's come from the House of Commons Library, so it's been independently produced.
Yeah, we've made that point.
But the second point is that this is about this. This is what it's just as much about what it tells you about the parties. What it tells you about Labour is that Labour put up taxes, and they put up taxes on average, average households, and they did it before, and they will do it again.
Okay, well, let's talk about something now that you're expert in your Home Office brief. That is, you'll know this morning, Seema Kotecha has been reporting the former head of the Counterterrorism Security Office telling us that Islamic radicalisation in our prisons is getting worse because of a severe shortage of staff and a state of crisis in the penal system. That's Chris Phillips, used to be the boss of the office.
Well, obviously, the issue of radicalisation in prisons is not a new one. It's something that has been with us for some time.
It's getting worse, though. That's the point he's saying.
Well, the point is that we're working with NOMS and the prison service to look at how these issues can best be dealt with
in
prisons.
But you accept it? Did you accept his conclusion that things are actually getting worse?
What I recognise is that actually we are seeing numbers of people being put in prison, and a lot more disruptions are taking place, a lot more arrests are taking place by the police. Over the last year, there have been
significant... And not enough officers in the prisons to handle that growing prison population. That's the problem, isn't it?
No, I don't think that is the problem.
That's what he says.
But what I think we do need to look at and continue to look at, and measures have been taken to be dealing with this, but of course we need to continue looking at this issue of how we can ensure that radicalisation doesn't take place in prisons. And and sometimes what happens is that individuals will join a particular group of prisoners, because as you know, in prisons often it's about being part of a gang, being part of a group, and the group that perhaps has got more members you join,
and
people can get drawn into radicalisation, although
they
don't intend it in the first place.
Indeed, and that's what prison officers are supposed to be keeping an eye on, aren't they? And what Chris Phillips says, that we have a growing haystack of extremists, where we still have to find the single needle that's going to go off and do something really nasty. That's frightening, isn't it?
Well, the work that our security services, our law enforcement agencies are doing day in and day out is, of course, working to identify those who would be trying to do something nasty, who would be planning an attack or would be about to carry out an attack. And, of course, they're doing that day in and day out. We have the best security services and in the world. I think we have first-class policing, the best police officers in the world, and they are doing this work to keep us safe day in and day out. But it is constant. It is being ever vigilant. It is constantly being developing the intelligence, analysing the intelligence and acting. And as I say, what we've seen over the last year is a significant increase in the number of disruptions that the police have undertaken, particularly of people potentially travelling to Syria. We've enhanced their powers to do that through the Counterterrorism Security Act that went through in February. So we're constantly looking at what we need to do to ensure that we're defeating this radicalisation.
Theresa May, many thanks.